plugins, so just from a philosophical point of view, plugins to me are the thing that makes a great difference in production. There's a lot of companies that are making these plugins, and plugins are just little, it's almost like virtual pieces of gear that you can use to enhance the sound of the audio. And there's like a million plugins, and there's a bunch of different companies that make them.
Thanks for tuning into BeyondPodcasting.com, where we recognize that your online radio show is much more than just a podcast.
Your show can be broadcast live, which is not a podcast. Your show can be heard on a website, which isn't a podcast either.
Of course, your online radio show can and should also be syndicated as a podcast via RSS, where your listeners can subscribe using a standard podcatcher or your show's own branded app for Android and iOS.
BeyondPodcasting.com covers microphones, interfaces, mixers, production software, recording techniques, best practices, and more. Now enjoy another episode of BeyondPodcasting.com with your host, Alan Tepper.
You're listening to BeyondPodcasting.com. I'm Alan Tepper, and on the line we have Chris Curran from PodcastEngineeringSchool.com. Did I say that correctly, Chris?
Yes, you did, Alan. I'm happy to be here.
Welcome to Beyond Podcasting. For the sake of the listeners, I have been on your show, which has the same name as your company and your school, which is Podcasting Engineering School. And just because we are so picky about the words in Beyond Podcasting, I want to say something for the benefit of the listeners and for you, for the promotion of your school. Your school, even though it's branded that way, I'm sure that you must have students who have enrolled there to learn about audio production for any type of online audio, whether it's for audiobook production or something that just goes onto a behind a paywall and not necessarily distributed as a podcast through RSS. Is that correct?
Yeah. Any kind of audio over the internet, and obviously, you know, specifically specializing in podcasting and podcast publishing.
BeyondPodcasting.com.
This episode of Beyond Podcasting is brought to us in part by Descript, the transcription, text, audio, caption, subtitle editor, which automatically transcribes your audio into text, allows you to correct that auto transcription, edit the text, and have the audio reflect the corresponding changes instantly. Descript is now available for Mac, Windows, and even a web version for Chromebooks. As a special bonus for Beyond Podcasting listeners, for a limited time, you'll get your first 100 minutes of auto transcription free by visiting descript.beyondpodcasting.com. That's a special link, and Descript is spelled D-E-S-C-R-I-P-T. Get your first 100 minutes free by visiting descript.beyondpodcasting.com.
BeyondPodcasting.com.
Let's talk a little bit about your school before we get into the specific things that I want to ask you about audio plugins, which is one of the reasons, since you're so knowledgeable about audio plugins, it's one of the reasons that I invited you, in addition to wanting to say hi and Barry. I don't know if Barry is actually connected to us today, is he?
No, Barry is not here right now.
Okay, well, Barry will join us the next time you come to Beyond Podcasting. That's fine. Just send his regards to Beyond, from Alan Tepper and Beyond Podcasting to Barry when you see him in the hallway or something like that. Say, Alan Tepper from Beyond Podcasting said hi. So let's talk a little bit more about your school. What is the duration? Is it a question of weeks or months or days?
There's 7 classes over 8 weeks. And so it's pretty condensed. And each class is 2 hours. So it's 2 hours a week for 7 or 8 weeks. And we really cover everything. There are live classes. I use Zoom to connect with audio and video with me and all the students. And it's a really great way that I can share my screen and share slides and also talk and answer questions live.
Great. And just for the benefit of the listeners, I already know, but you have a background in music audio production, correct?
Yep. I was working in the music business starting back in the 90s. And I worked on a bunch of albums and I worked at some of the best studios in the world. So yeah, that's my audio background.
Okay, well, that's great. And for the benefit of the listeners of Beyond Podcasting that haven't heard your show yet, you have something that you do at the beginning of each one of your sessions. And I know you like to call them sessions, which you call a speed round. And just because you are here and Barry is here in spirit, I want to ask you what you are using today.
I'm still using my vintage RE20. So,
which is a classic.
My friend Mark Johansson, he has some sort of a knack for finding vintage RE20 microphones. And so he found one. I think it's probably from the 80s. And they sound a little bit better than the RE20s that they make currently. It's kind of subtle, but there is a difference. So I'm using my RE20 and I'm going into my channel strip, which is a Neve Portico 2. It's kind of an expensive channel strip. I think it's probably around $3,500 new. And it's great, though. It has a mic pre, has an EQ compressor, does have a de-esser on it, and it's just really high quality. I'm actually not using any EQ, but I'm using a little bit of compression on that. And then from the Neve Portico 2, I'm going into my new Sound Devices Mix Pre 6, which is a remote recorder, but it's also an audio interface. So
and an audio mixer.
Right. Yeah, And that the Mix Pre 6 is connected to my new iMac Pro computer, which I'm just getting started on using my iMac Pro. I'm still, for most of my production, I'm still using my older setup, which I still have, obviously. But the iMac Pro, I'm really psyched about getting this going, doing all my production in here. And I'm recording, usually I record using Audio Hijack in the iMac Pro. And then for mixing and all that, I'm still using Reaper with a lot of awesome plugins. And then, of course, mastering, I'm using the Isotope Ozone 8, and that's it.
Yes, I'm going to be asking you about Isotope in a little bit, but just to do my end, I am using the Rode Broadcaster, and it's plugged into a preamp in A-D that they recently released and that I reviewed in Pro Video Coalition, and I will eventually review here in Beyond Podcasting. And I will tell you the name of it. It's the Rode AI-1 interface preamp and A-D converter, which I did review and I will review here. I don't know if you had even heard about it, but it's a recent product from Rode.
No, I haven't, but it sounds pretty cool. I'm actually looking it up right now.
Okay, well, that's what I'm using right now. And we are connected via CleanFeed. It's the first time that I'm using it for a real session, other than when I reviewed it, when I used it together with my friend Francisco Javier Arboli. Now I'm using it with you, Chris, and we are very hopeful that everything will go just as smoothly as it did when I did the review test. It seems to be working very well. I see your name up there. I see the VU meter. I see the time, and it gives us the capability of muting ourselves if we want to. And unlike a lot of the competitive services that you and I have both used at different times, this one does not do a low quality VOIP and a high quality and then an auto sync, which many people call a dual ender. This one is actually doing the high quality live. So it's actually appropriate even for a live radio show, whereas the other ones are not because they're only intended to have VOIP quality when you're actually connected and talking. So that's one thing that makes it stand out among some of the competitors. So I'm excited about it and I'm excited to do the first session with you here. And I know that you talk a lot about on your show and in your classes, even though I have never been in your classes, I know because you mention it, that you talk a lot about plugins. So I would like you, just as a general question, to talk about the ones that you use the most for non-musical applications, including online radio and things that eventually get distributed as a podcast.
Sure. So yeah, pretty much everything I'm doing these days is non-musical. So plugins, so just from a philosophical point of view, plugins to me are the thing that makes a great difference in production. So when you talk about the DAW, you know, the digital audio workstation that people use to record and mix, you know, like you have, I use Reaper. What else do you have?
Oh, I use Hindenburg Journalist Pro. There are lots of DAWs out there, but that's the one, that's my favorite one. And I will be talking about that in the future here in Beyond Podcasting.
Logic Pro, that's another one.
There's, some people use GarageBand, but I stay away from it because it won't do 48 kilohertz, as you know.
Right. Yeah, and then you have Pro Tools, and you have, some people use Audacity, which is, I think you can do multi-track on that. Anyhow, my point is, using a DAW, you can record and mix your audio. But each DAW is a little bit different. Some are a little bit more high quality than others. Some include some plugins that are really good, and some include plugins that are just okay. So the DAW is one thing, but now there's a lot of companies that are making these plugins, and plugins are just little, it's almost like virtual pieces of gear that you can use to enhance the sound of the audio. And there's like a million plugins, and there's a bunch of different companies that make them. So you can, in my opinion, you can almost use any DAW software, but if you purchase a handful of really high quality plugins, that will make the biggest difference in the sound for you. So that's how I do it. I use Reaper as my DAW. And sometimes when I tell people that, they're like, Reaper? Why do you use Reaper? That's not that great. And you know what? I don't know. Maybe it's not the best DAW, but I don't use Reaper for the features of Reaper. I use Reaper just because I need some DAW.
You need the foundation.
Awesome plugins.
Exactly. You need the foundation to attach these plugins, which some people might, if they have a hard time thinking about the word plugin, they might consider it like attachments or accessories. So you need the base. It's like to build a building, you need a foundation. You need a ground floor before you add the other stories on top of it, right?
Right. So choosing your DAW, that's a whole nother conversation. And there's nothing wrong with using the higher quality DAWs. The DAW software. It's okay. But anyway, I use Reaper. So as far as plugins go, I have a list here of the ones that I use the most, which I pretty much use on every voice. And then I have the next section is some plugins that I use sometimes. And then I have another section where I have the plugins, but I rarely use them anymore, because either I stopped using them or I found something better, stuff like that. So the ones that I use the most, and I'll just list them out. First of all, Alan, the Sheps Omnichannel. Oh, I also wanted to mention before I name all individual ones, pretty much every plugin I use, I purchase from the company called Waves. And Waves makes plugins that work on either Mac or Windows. And you do not need one of those dongles. You don't need a physical piece of hardware, like a little USB drive that you have to plug it attached
to
the computer.
Yes, I don't like those at all. And it's one of the reasons why I don't like Pro Tools.
Yeah. Yeah, the dongle thing, or the, I think that they call it a dongle. It's okay, but, you know, like, I buy from Waves so that I can actually just install my plugins on each machine that I want to install it on, and I don't need any USB dongle. So, anyway, all right, let me list the plugins. The Sheps Omnichannel, that's actually a new one. It's a channel strip, which has, you know, channel strips typically have EQ, compression, de-essing, and a bunch of different features all in one. So the Sheps Omnichannel. I use the SSL-E channel strip, and I also have the SSL-G channel strip, which are really good channel strip. I use the Sheps 73, that's an EQ. I use FabFilter Pro Q2. Now, remember I said all my plugins are Waves pretty much?
Oh, but there's one more that you've talked about before that's not from Waves. It's the one that I want to ask you about, but I'll just let you finish your list and then I'll attack you with that one.
Yeah. No. Everyone I mentioned so far is from Waves except for the
exactly.
FabFilter Pro Q2.
Yes, but there's going to be one more that you, I guess, forgot to put on your list because you've talked about it a lot on your show, but I'll just leave you alone to finish your
list.
Okay,
all right. Now you have me hanging on the edge, Alan. All right. So the FabFilter is a company that makes plugins, and they make really, really tremendous plugins. They're not cheap, though. They're really not cheap. Like, if you just want to buy one plugin from them, it might cost $150 or $200. Whereas Waves, for instance, they have a lot of sales where you can get plugins for $29. So FabFilter's awesome. All right. Next one is a compressor called the CLA-76. And that's a model of an old 1176 compressor. And then another compressor is called the CLA-2A, which is another model of a classic compressor. Then the FabFilter Pro DS, which is a de-esser from FabFilter. And then my secret weapon, the Vocal Rider, which is, we could talk about the Vocal Rider, but it just really helps to even out the volume levels of speakers. So those are plugins that I pretty much use. Well, I don't use all of them on every voice, but I use them almost on every voice in every podcast that I produce.
And you use almost all of them?
Yeah. So, well, for instance, like the channel strips, I might just use one of the two channel strips. And like the compressors, I just might use one of the two compressors. But yeah, pretty much, you know, the de-esser, the de-esser you don't always have to use, because if someone's, you know, sibilance is not hurting your ears, then you don't need it.
Yes. And the last one that you mentioned there, I think it was, you said Vocal Rider. Is that the name?
Yep.
What's the developer of that one?
That's Waves as well.
Oh, that is Waves. Okay. I personally have purchased two from Waves, and one of them is the Debreathe. But the one that I'm going to ask you about, which apparently you forgot about it because you have mentioned it before on your show and everything, it's from iZotope, RX6.
Yeah, you bring up a great point. So iZotope is a company that makes audio processing software, and they make a couple big programs. One is called RX6, which is like really expensive. It's what, $1,200? And
the Advanced.
The Advanced is $1,200. It's like the Swiss Army knife of fixing bad audio. It's just literally awesome. It has so many tremendous features. It's great. The other one that iZotope makes is a mastering software called Ozone 8, which is for mastering, meaning that it has, you know, some EQ, some compressor, you know, multiband compressors and stuff for mastering. That's a whole nother step of production, is mastering. And so, yeah, so the cool thing about iZotope with the RX6 and Ozone 8 is that they offer the standalone software, but when you buy it, they also give you it, like it loads into your DAW as individual plugins as well. So like you can take one of the features of RX6 and open it up as a plugin, or one of the features of Ozone 8 and open it up as a plugin on a single voice in your DAW software. So really, really handy and really cool. I love it.
I'm going to ask you a question about what you just said. But first, I'm going to clarify, and you, of course, correct me if I'm wrong about this. But in addition to the Advanced, they also have the Standard and the Elements version of RX6, correct?
Correct. The Standard version of RX6 is much cheaper. Like, I think it might only cost maybe $400 or maybe
exactly. $600. I looked it up today. It was $399.99, so let's call it $400. Right. And
the difference between Standard and the Advanced is around $1,200. Standard is around $400. They pretty much all have, they both have the same features, except the Advanced has like maybe four or five or six special features that are not included in the $400 version.
Yes, I see at the top they have three that are only in Advanced, and they're de-rustle, de-wind, and dialogue isolate.
Right.
Those seem to be the exclusive features to Advanced.
Well, for podcasting, those three are not, I wouldn't say they're the most important, but one feature that is only available in Advanced is the loudness.
Okay,
yeah, so
I
the
understand.
Loudness is one of the main things I use RX6 for, and that's so after I produce a podcast episode, the last step I do is I set the loudness to the LUFS standards. RX6 does a great job, and you can even set the maximum level too. So I always set the maximum level to -1 because I don't want the peak to go actually all the way up to 0. I want it to stop 1 dB
exactly.
Short. That leaves a little headroom.
Exactly. There are reasons for that. And I think one of the reasons is that when you eventually encode an MP3, there's a problem if it goes all the way to 0.
Right. There can be a problem.
Exactly. That doesn't mean that there always will be, but there can be. Exactly. One of the things that seems to be unique to RX6 is the mouth noise, including the mouth declick. I have never seen that from any other developer, not even from Waves. Have you?
I actually don't know. I haven't gone and looked for any other D mouth click plugins. But yeah, the one in RX6, it works really well. And it comes in so handy. Like not everyone has trouble with their mouth clicks and stuff, but sometimes you'll have a guest where their mouth is just like, it feels like your ear is like 1 inch from their mouth, and there's all this saliva and spit and clicking. And anyway, the D mouth click really takes out those little tiny mouth clicks. It's awesome.
Yes, I've never seen it from any other developer, and it sounds like you haven't either. And having several years already editing audio, it seems like my ears are more and more sensitive to it, not only in my own show, but other people's shows who are not solving it one way or another. The only other way that I know to solve it without actually doing some technique with your mouth is to do it manually. And to do it manually, depending on how many there are per a session, it can take a really long time to fix manually, as you probably have tried to do before right?
Yeah, I've done that manually, and you can actually see the mouth clicks in the wave file, the drawing of the wave on the screen. So it's if you're using a detailed editor, like I use SoundForge Pro for my detailed editing, and you could see it, and you can literally just clip it out, clip out that tiny little mouth click. But yeah, if someone's mouth clicking, then they're going to do it about 2,000 times over the episode. So there's no way you can go through and actually do it manually for every single mouth click.
Right. When I've done it manually, I've done probably half of them, the ones that I've been able to and the ones that have been the most annoying for me anyway. So when you use RX6 standard as a standalone, not as a plugin, does it set the order for you or do you set the order as you want it to be?
The order of processing?
Yes.
No, you perform one process at a time. So you can choose, okay, let's say first I'm going to use the D mouth click on this voice. And so you do that. And then the next one might be, oh, let me adjust the phase, which is one that I use. Sometimes the phase, like the wave looks lopsided, right? There's more, the wave looks like it's more on the positive side than on the negative side. So you can just adjust the phase rotation and it makes the wave even, a plus and minus, which is helps for headroom, gives you more headroom. So I'll do that. And then a lot of times I will, for instance, on the low end, like literally below 25 hertz or below 30 hertz, I will literally highlight that and delete it. Because sometimes, I don't know why, but sometimes like around 7 or 8 or 10 hertz, there's like significant noise down there. And it's not audible by the human ear, but it will affect the speakers that the sound is played through. It will affect the compressor if you use a compressor afterwards. That low frequency energy carries a lot of energy and level. So that'll affect things. So I literally just delete below like 25 or 30 hertz because it's so low that you can't really hear it anyway. And it just cleans it up, makes it more clean. So anyway, I do a lot of stuff like that. So you can do one processing at a time in series, or you can actually make these modules where you can sort of tell it in advance to, you know, you could put in five different individual modules and then just click go. And it'll first do the phase and then it'll do the D mouth click and then it'll just do all five in a row. And then boom, then the.
So if I understood you correctly, you create your own presets of standard things that you do often and it has them in it, like in a preset in a particular order in a certain perhaps level of each one.
Yep.
That sounds wonderful. And I really appreciate you explaining that to me and to our listeners here in Beyond Podcasting, because it's something that I have become more and more sensitive to, even with shows that are considered top level shows where have an amazing following. They have these issues with mouth clicks that apparently a lot of people don't hear. But once you become tuned to them, you become sensitive and you're bothered by it. And I guess you and I are both very sensitive to it because we've been doing editing for a while.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Most people don't hear a lot of these things. That's why, like, you know, in the big picture, the D mouth click might not be the most important thing in the world. I think if you did ask me what is the most important thing in the world with podcasting, I think it's definitely the levels and the compression. So each voice should be about the same level. You shouldn't have one voice that's really loud and then another voice that's really soft. Like, that's terrible. And also compression, because when you're, for instance, if you're driving in a car and listening to a podcast, or you're driving or you're running down a trail listening to a podcast, if there's too much dynamic range, you can't hear it all. Like, I remember driving through Utah doing like 85, 90 miles an hour, because the speed limit's 85, actually, in some places in Utah. Is it 80 or 85? Anyway, I'm driving down the road trying to listen to podcasts on the car radio, and the road noise was so loud that I had to turn up the radio pretty loud. And then I would hear the people talking, but then someone would laugh really loud, and it would blow my ears out. It was like so loud, so I'd have to turn down the radio. And then, of course, then they talk lower and then I can't hear them because of the road noise. So then I got to turn up the volume. So the solution to help people avoid riding the volume knob is compression and limiting. And so that's why that's a big part of production. I mean, if you listen to radio, radio severely compresses and limits the signal. If you ever listen to radio in a nice quiet room on good speakers, it'll sound so compressed and limited and almost destroyed. Doesn't sound very natural at all.
Agreed. I have achieved the compression and the normalization other ways. I've done it either with what's built into Hindenburg Journalist Pro, or I've done it with Alphonic, or a combination of the two. But I completely agree how important it is. And I haven't tried them with some of these plugins, so it's possible that some of these plugins that we've been discussing can do it better. But at least I have been doing it. The other thing that I noticed that's available with the Isotope, even with the RX6 standard, which is something that I have been doing with Alphonic Multitrack, and that's the cross-gating. When I record with multiple microphones and there's always some bleed between them, well, that apparently is one of the features that's there. And I get the impression that if you do the cross-gating and the normalization and the compression before anything else, then it's probably going to amplify those mouth clicks even more. So I think the order is important, and that's why I think it's so positive to have them all together in one plugin where you can set the order appropriately and you don't have to go through different steps because it can all happen together once you set the order properly. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that seems yet another reason, even though I have been able to do the cross-gating, I think it would be good if you were able to do the leveling and the mouth clicking in the proper order so that it wouldn't get worse after you do the compression.
Right. And by the way, I just found the page you're looking at and I scrolled down to the bottom. There are 1, 2, 3, 4. There are 7 more modules that are only included in the advanced. There's ambience match, azimuth, center extract, deconstruct, EQ match, which is awesome, leveler, which is awesome, and loudness, which is awesome. So those actually EQ match, leveler, and loudness are all very handy to have, and they're only available in the advanced.
Okay. So you definitely think that the advanced is the best one.
Well, look, I produce podcasts for a living, so I'm a professional. I need professional tools. So for me, it's a no-brainer. I need the best stuff, and I'm willing to pay for it. For the average podcaster, though, that's, you know, is $1,200. I don't know. I don't know if you need it. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you another question because I think you mentioned to me once, and I don't know if it applies to this particular brand or not, but I think you mentioned to me once that students of your school, PES or Podcasting Engineering School, are eligible to a special educational discount for some of the plugins, although I don't know if it's with all of the developers.
Yeah, so it's actually specifically with iZotope. I have a relationship with iZotope, and my students get 50% off RX6, whether they buy the advanced or standard. So advanced, instead of paying $1,200, my students pay $600. And for the standard, instead of paying $400, they pay $200.
Well, that's what I thought I had recalled, and I'm glad that I brought it up because that's yet another value added for your students. So listeners, keep that in mind. When you look at the price of Chris's class, remember that you're going to be saving perhaps $600 on a plugin that you might be getting.
Totally.
For our listeners' benefit, they can find you at podcastengineeringschool.com. Is that correct?
That's it, podcastengineeringschool.com. And I even have a monthly newsletter I send out, which is a lot of tips and tricks with audio, stuff like that.
I'm going to have to get on that list. I don't think I'm on that list yet.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And I don't know if you're on mine. I do several. Every time I publish a new review and everything, I don't know if you're on my list. So I guess I have to get on your list and you have to get on my list.
I do have to get on yours. I don't get those. Oh, man.
Okay. Well, we'll have to fix that.
Okay.
BeyondPodcasting.com.
After our conversation with Chris, I was able to get RX6 Advanced for review, and I'll be covering it soon here in Beyond Podcasting and in Pro Video Coalition magazine. Stay tuned.
Some of the manufacturers mentioned on the BeyondPodcasting.com show have contracted Alan Tepper and or Technotour LLC to carry out consulting and or translations, localizations or transcreations. Many of the manufacturers mentioned have sent Alan Tepper review units. Some links to third parties mentioned in the show may indirectly benefit Technotour LLC via affiliate programs. Alan Tepper's opinions are his own.